Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
And I'm Erin.
It's our news digest today. It's our all-English lecture. So guess what? There's no Chinese teacher today. You're on your own. And today we're going to talk about some political news. Even though today is Valentine's Day, we are going to be talking about the American election that took place way back in November.
All right, so this has been widely controversial news for a while now. People are very divided on their views of who should have been the U.S. president. A lot of people wanted Trump to be president, and a lot of people wanted Clinton to become the president.
Well, to tell you the truth, as an American, I didn't like either one of them.
All right.
But one of them had to win, and so it turned out to be Donald Trump. But it's kind of weird, though, because he actually won the Electoral College but did not win the popular vote,
right,
which is kind of confusing. How can somebody win an election without getting the most votes? Maybe during today's lesson we will be able to explain that, but I had to spend some time explaining that to my daughter, and she still doesn't quite understand.
Right, and to be honest, I'm probably with your daughter. As a non-American, I don't quite understand the U.S. electoral system, so maybe you'll be able to shed some light on that for me. But it's time to get started, so let's read through the article and then go on to talk about it.
Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton to become the U.S. president in November 2016. While the popular vote was close, Trump won a significant majority in the U.S. Electoral College and was inaugurated in January this year. The result was considered a shock by most mainstream media outlets and pollsters, as a win for Clinton had been predicted. In addition, the Republican Party, represented by Trump, retained control of both the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives. The election was controversial from start to finish, with both candidates being not only deeply unpopular with voters on the other side of the political and cultural divide, but even with voters on their own side. During the campaign, Trump was accused of being sexist, racist, and more, while Clinton drew fire for being a typical establishment politician who offered no meaningful change. Trump's anti-establishment stance was one of the factors that led to his victory, with his promise of a new era of jobs and America First policies winning voters in key swing states. Among the numerous concerns and fears expressed by Trump opponents in the U.S. and worldwide is his apparent opposition to current environmental policies. He spoke of supporting America's fossil fuel industries and of pulling out of the Paris Agreement, a 2015 pledge by almost 200 countries to reduce global warming by cutting carbon emissions. Climate change scientists have warned of disaster if Trump follows through on these statements. Domestically, Trump's victory was met with protests in many U.S. cities, some of which unfortunately turned violent. There was also a great deal of speculation about whether Trump and his new White House team would fulfill all of his campaign policies, many of which were considered to be extreme. At this time, the only thing that seems certain is that nothing is certain. Okay, everybody, the time has now arrived for us to discuss the contents of today's lesson. The title is Trump Defeats Clinton to Become U.S. President. Of course, the leader of the American government is referred to as the president. Just like here in Taiwan, the president, President Tsai. Well, now we've got President Trump in the United States, and this is what the article is all about. The election that occurred in November of last year, the American presidential election in which Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton.
All right. Well, we mentioned before, but let's talk about it again. It says, while the popular vote was close, Trump won a significant majority in the U.S. Electoral College. Now, the popular vote is, as I'm aware, the marking of the name of the president you want to win on a ballot.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
How many people voted for that person, just
right.
counting the actual votes, which to a lot of people would mean, isn't that how you decide an election anyway?
Right.
But like here in Taiwan, it's always based on the popular vote only.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about this Electoral College in just a second here. It goes on to say Trump won a significant majority in the U.S. Electoral College and was inaugurated in January this year. Electoral College is not really an educational institution.
No.
It's a system in which the president is selected based on the state's population and a state gets a certain number of votes. Whoever gets the most amount of votes in that state gets all those electoral votes. Except for Maine and somebody else, I think they split it up a little bit. But for the most part, if you get more votes in one state, you win all those votes.
Okay. Well, so we know that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, but because Trump won the majority in the Electoral College, he was inaugurated in January this year. So inaugurated means that he was welcomed into office. He took over office from Barack Obama, who was the former U.S. president. So the result was considered a shock by most mainstream media outlets and pollsters. Mainstream basically means the ones that you hear from more often. Basically, we could say mainstream would be CNN or Fox News sort of thing. These ones that most people watch or get their news from. And media outlets would be the places that you get your news, such as the TV stations or newspapers or online news sources. And the pollsters are the people who are taking the polls of American public. They're the ones finding the statistics of who likes which person more, which person do you want to win, and they calculate all of that data and they make predictions about who they think will win based on the data they have.
Exactly. So they could be polls conducted by these mainstream media outlets like CNN, CBS, ABC, etc., or Fox News. Or they could be independent companies who do these polls, which basically just asks random people who they're going to vote for. But as we know, the pollsters, or the people who conduct these polls, got it all wrong. But in any case here, they were saying that it was going to be a win for Clinton. That win, or that victory, had been predicted. This is past perfect tense here, had been predicted, because we're talking about an event in the past from a vantage point which itself is talking about something else that was happening in the past. So a victory had been predicted for Clinton before the election took place. Here we have predict as a verb. That just means you're trying to make a guess or an estimate about what will happen in the future.
Right. So a lot of people were shocked by this. The news were saying that Clinton was probably going to win, and then she didn't win, and so everyone was kind of surprised by this outcome. And it says, in addition, the Republican Party, represented by Trump, retained control of both the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives. So as a non-American, I can only assume that the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives are the people who represent the people of the United States in terms of their cities and their states and where they come from and how they exist in the U.S.
Exactly. So this is the Republican Party, of course, and that was Trump's party. It retained or kept control of these two different parts of the legislative branch of the American government.
Mm-hmm.
One is the Senate, which is 100 members. They have two senators from each state.
Okay.
So like California California has two senators, Delaware has two senators, Maine, Florida, Georgia, Texas, etc., all have two senators. And then the House of Representatives is based on population. So
right.
You'll have all sorts of different congressmen from, say, New York and Texas and California, but not so many representatives from, say, Wyoming or Montana or places like that with a lower population.
Okay, so the higher the population, then the more people you have representing you. Okay, that makes sense. All right, so we now know that it was a shocking win for Trump for most people. And many people were surprised by the fact that he won the Electoral College and the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives. So it says in the next paragraph, the election was controversial from start to finish. Controversial meaning that there were a lot of big, heated arguments about this, about who should win and why this person shouldn't win and why that person shouldn't win. And it says with both candidates being not only deeply unpopular with voters on the other side of the political and cultural divide, but even with voters on their own side. So not only is Hillary unpopular with Donald Trump supporters, but she's also unpopular with the Liberal Party voters.
Mm.
And the same for the Republican side as well.
Exactly. So basically we're saying we've got this political and cultural divide, which divides different people, basically the right and the left, conservative people and liberal people. So yeah, there were lots of Republicans who supported Trump, but there were a lot of Republicans that didn't like him either.
Right.
And the same was true on the other side. People supported Clinton, but then there were a lot of people who said, eh, why did we choose her? We should have picked Bernie Sanders. He would have been better. So it was very controversial. Lots of people just would have rather said none of the above. We don't like either one of them. But, hey, they had to pick somebody.
Right.
And that's what happened. So, yes, they were unpopular. And as a result, it was controversial. And I think also the actual candidates themselves had problems, too. Clinton had the big email scandal and the Benghazi scandal and all that stuff, plus the Clinton Foundation and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Trump, of course, had his usual sexist, racist, and other remarks that some people didn't like. But I think we got time to talk about one more sentence here. So it does say, during the campaign, Trump was accused of being sexist, racist, and more, while Clinton drew fire for being a typical establishment politician who offered no meaningful change. So this is the campaign, which means the process in which people are elected.
Right. So the campaign for this was about 2 years long. They voted for their primary candidates, who were Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, a couple of years ago. And in those 2 years, they've been campaigning or giving speeches and like trying to convince the public why they would be the best candidate to win. And it says here Trump was accused of being sexist, racist, and more. So obviously sexist is when you discriminate against people of a different gender. And in this case, Trump came into speculation for some comments he made about how he treats women. And they were made a few years ago, but they were very resounding for many women in the U.S. And making racist comments specifically about Mexican people or about Muslim people, we'll probably talk about a bit more later on. And Clinton for being the typical establishment politician. She wasn't going to be much different from any politician we've seen in the past. And so many people believe she'd probably continue with keeping the money the way it is and maybe continue with wars the way they are, sort of thing. Not offering any change from what's happening now.
Yeah, basically, she was Bill Clinton's wife. Well, she still is, but people are saying, gee, can't we have somebody new and different from these old fogies from the past? You know, we need some new, interesting faces. That's why Jeb Bush himself didn't get elected, because they were kind of sick of the Bush dynasty.
Right.
And they wanted change. But, well, that's about all we have to say for now. So right now we're going to stop talking for a few minutes and take a break. Oh. Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're talking about why the voters in the United States didn't really like either Trump or Clinton, but yet Trump still won.
All right. Well, there are many different theories about why this happened, and one of them is that Trump's anti-establishment stance was one of the factors that led to his victory. So a stance is just something that you support. It's what your campaign is run on. So his is the anti-establishment. So what we know so far of the establishment is that the taxes have been different for different people, and some people pay more and some people pay less, and things like how much money goes to these people and how much money goes to these people in terms of education and medical care and these kind of things. So his stance is that it should be different. It should be not based on a lot of foreign policy, but that it should come back to Americans.
Exactly. Or more specifically, Trump is actually a businessman. He's not a politician, and he didn't study law. He studied business. He knows how to make deals and stuff like that. So a lot of people are saying, we are sick of these politicians in Washington. They're corrupt. They don't do anything for the country. The bridges are all falling down. People are running wild. We've got crime. We've got immigrants coming in. So they were saying, hey, let's hire somebody else besides a stinking politician.
Right.
So that's kind of what is involved with his anti-establishment stance. That's one of the reasons or one of the factors that led to his victory. With his promises of a new era of jobs and America First policies, winning voters in key swing states. A swing state is a state in which the vote is really close. You can't really call it for sure. Everybody knows that the southern states are all going to go Republican. They always do. But then states like New York and California, they always go for the Democrats. But the swing states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, who knows who they're going to vote for? The vote is very close.
Right. It could swing to either side. Which is why they're called the swing states. So he's making these promises of a new era of jobs. An era is like a time period. In the past, a lot of American jobs have been being outsourced to other countries, where maybe if you want to call and ask a question about your phone number, you think you're calling an American number, but actually it's going to a call center in India. So Trump is trying to bring jobs back to America. And since a lot of people in America are out of work, this was a really, really important and effective promise to make, so that people could work again and have money to live comfortably again. A lot of Americans, as far as I can tell from the news, live in poverty, and this was really important to them that he was promising them new jobs.
And he was promising those things, and they kind of felt that Clinton wasn't really saying anything that would help them.
Right.
So that's one reason why Trump won. Now let's move on now to the next paragraph here. It says, among the numerous concerns and fears expressed by Trump's opponents in the U.S. and worldwide is his apparent opposition to current environmental policies.
Mm-hmm.
So these are Trump opponents, or the opponents of Trump. Trump is actually being used as an adjective here. An opponent is somebody who is against somebody. So these are some concerns and fears, things they are afraid of, things they are worried about or concerned about, both in the United States and outside the United States, worldwide, is because he has this opposition to current environmental policies. Opposition means you're against something. An opponent is that person. To oppose is the verb.
Right. So we see many different versions of that word there. So it says Trump is opposed to current environmental policies. Now, the environmental policies that are in place, as far as I know, are to do with global warming and like to reduce fossil fuels and focus more on wind power, solar power, these kind of things, because as we all know, global warming is starting to affect us quite significantly. and as far as it seems to me, is opposed to these things. He says he spoke of supporting America's fossil fuel industries and of pulling out of the Paris Agreement, a 2015 pledge by almost 200 countries to reduce global warming by cutting carbon emissions. So he's supporting these fossil fuel industries, which means coal and oil and all of these things that are polluting our atmosphere and making global warming speed up, sort of thing. And so he's also talking about pulling out of the Paris Agreement, or taking America out of this agreement, which was signed by almost 200 countries to protect the environment and reduce global warming here.
Exactly, right. So that's the Paris Accord, or the Paris Agreement, which took place 2 years ago, a pledge, a promise by lots of countries to reduce global warming, or it's also referred to as climate change. But during the campaign, Trump was noted to say global warming is a hoax, or climate change is a hoax, H-O-A-X, a hoax, which means something that people believe, but it's really not true.
Right.
That's what he was saying. And so, of course, this agreement promises to cut carbon emissions. Carbon, of course, is going into the atmosphere and causing the temperature to go up, along with other gases like methane and carbon dioxide and stuff like that. And climate change scientists have warned of disaster if Trump follows through on these statements. To follow through on something means to keep on going with those things. We're all kind of hoping and keeping our fingers crossed that he was just saying these things to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And after he gets elected, maybe he'll come to his senses.
That's right. So a lot of climate change scientists are hoping that when Trump brings in the person to work with the environment, I can't remember what the name of that person is, the minister that works in terms of the environment, or the head of that division of government.
I guess it'd be the head of the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
Right. And they chooses someone who believes in climate change and is ready to work for the environment, not against it, I guess. So hopefully climate change scientists are hoping that that happens and that he doesn't so much follow through or keep going with these statements that he's made. But domestically, Trump's victory was met with protests in many U.S. cities. So domestically means at home in that country, not outwards, not foreign, not internationally. Domestically means at home. Domestically, Trump's victory was met with protests. So people are coming out and protesting. They're not happy with this election result, and they're gathering in cities. Unfortunately, some of them have turned violent as well.
Indeed. So this is domestically, which means within the United States itself, not internationally. And if something is met with something, you encounter that thing, that's the reaction that they have. The victory was met with protests. I could say that the trade deal was met with opposition by the Green Party, for example. Okay, so in any case here, yes, as a reaction to his victory, there were protests in lots of cities. I don't really know what they hope to accomplish there. Once the election is done, it's done. But some of these turned violent. People were throwing rocks through windows and stuff like that, and breaking pencils and tearing people's hair out and ripping up their socks and things like that. And there was also a great deal of speculation about whether Trump and his new White House team would fulfill all of his campaign policies, which many were considered to be extreme. So there's some speculation here. To speculate just means to kind of guess about something, to sort of base some opinions on some information. So they're wondering, well, maybe he just said all that stuff just to get elected. Once he gets elected, he probably won't fulfill all those promises. And I think most people probably thought that, yeah, there's no way that the U.S. can build this giant wall for thousands of miles across Texas and New Mexico and California. But they just kind of liked to hear it anyway.
Right. So a lot of these campaign policies, like the wall, were considered extreme, especially his claim that once the wall was built, he would ask the Mexican side of the wall to pay before the wall. And a lot of his policies concerning Muslim people, about like considering a ban on bringing Muslim people into the country, which a lot of people became upset with because it assumed that all Muslims were terrorists, which of course is not true. And maybe making a registry of Muslim people in the country so that they can keep track of them or record their movements sort of thing, which is also quite an extreme view. So a lot of people are not sure what's going to happen with some of these policies that he ran on in his campaign. So they're wondering what's going to happen in the next few months or 4 years. Will any of these things actually happen? So it says, at this time, the only thing that seems certain is that nothing is certain. And as a non-American, I can definitely feel that the truth behind this statement. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 4 years?
Indeed. So, yes, nothing is certain, but that is the only thing that is certain. We just don't know what's going to happen. And again, yeah, is he going to fulfill all of his policies or fulfill all of his promises? I think he's promised quite a bit there. I think people are probably expecting quite a lot out of him. But who knows? He may be able to deliver. He may surprise everybody. But on the other hand, maybe he won't. Maybe he won't fulfill those promises. But people will say, well, he's just not able to do it because the Democrats are opposing him or something. So we've heard those arguments in politics for a long time. It happens the same here in Taiwan. Gee, the government had a chance to change things, but they didn't. Well, that was only because of the opposition. It's you guys' fault, not ours. No, it's your fault. No, it's not ours. It's yours. You crybaby, et cetera, et cetera.
A lot of arguing, but no coming to any workable results here,
I guess. Any kind of compromise. Or something like that. It seems like they're just willing to fight until the death.
Right.
Okay, so that ends our discussion about the American election in 2016, and there'll be another one in 2020. Gee, when's the next election here in Taiwan? It's probably going to create just as many fireworks as the one in the U.S. just did last year. Okay, that brings us to the end here. Is there anything you'd like to add at this time now, Aaron?
Well, I just hope that it all works out for the best and that we're not underwater in 4 years because of rising sea.
That's right. Taiwan is very close to sea level here. My goodness, I better buy a house in Nantou right now.
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson. Thank you for joining us. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
And I'm Aaron.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.